Now you're very welcome to The Wide Angle. Well, before the news there, we heard a fascinating assessment of the IMF intervention in Greece from Professor Gikas Harduvalis, the chief economist with Eurobank EFG Group. He actually is still on the line because he wants to listen in to our other contributors. He believes it's been a great thing that the IMF has been intervening in Greece. So I tell you, it's not all bad news for Ireland. But let's turn to Peter Matthews now, banking and financial commentator and analyst. Good morning to you, Peter.
Good morning, Karen.
I tell you, very good news there.
Hugely refreshing. That's how there was a great sense of, you know, the arrival of an optimism, a realistic optimism, a framework for recovery. And Professor Harduvalis put it so elegantly and so well.
I mean, amazing. In so many aspects, the IMF intervention has pushed Greece to clean up an awful lot of stuff that was wrong, not least a huge black economy that was a big, taking a big chunk of revenue out of the state funds.
Yeah, he said it shaped up the public sector, it brought down waste. These are the objectives and they're happening. That's the good news. Tax evasion, opening up the professions, pension system reform. I mean, you know, it's a tremendous list of, it's a shopping list of the to-dos and the size of the to-dos.
But Peter, what's your analysis about how that intervention has actually managed to bring about all these different things and why Greece couldn't do it before then? Why did it actually require the IMF to enable them to do this sort of stuff?
Well, I think he explained that there was a prolonged period of up to 20 years of, you know, like a malaise, a society malaise. And the people of Greece sensed that things were wrong and awry. And this outside agency, which is like the arrival of the doctor, was going to help people to know their body was telling them that they weren't well. And they knew that if the prescription could be followed, the diagnosis acknowledged and the prescription and the medication course followed, that all would begin to get well.
But it's interesting that you see it as the arrival of a doctor. You see, in many respects, people would say, oh my God, IMF intervention, it's like the grim reaper finally arriving at your country. We've lost our sovereignty, 1916, what do they fight for, and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
The hysteria that we've heard from all sorts of sources over the week. Instead, actually, it seems from a Greece perspective, it's quite the opposite.
Yeah, but it's not a holiday either, Karen. There is going to be a bit of, you know, losing the weight, trimming up, getting to bed early, doing exercise and all those things that make a society stronger and healthier. But it's under the supervision, the cooperative and communicative supervision of people who are experienced and who are experts. And actually, it's interesting to see that even the makeup of the teams that come from both the IMF, the EU and the ECB, they're multinational. So it's not as if anybody has a monopoly of wisdom or, you know, coming from a country of expertise to the exclusion of anybody else. It's not. You can see the visibility. People of different colours, shapes and sizes coming. But they all have one thing in common. They're experts at what they do.
And their intentions are clean up some of the mess in these countries that they intervene and see how things can
and address difficult situations and measure them correctly.
And one of the difficult situations which the professor talked about in Greece was the fact that the unions had to sit down and talk with business people and the IMF was involved in how those negotiations would take place.
Yes.
Now, of course, as we know, we have the Croke Park Agreement. We have the likes of Jack O'Connor and David Begg, who were, you know, very good at digging their heels in. To what extent do you think now will their attitudes be forced to change because the IMF come in here?
Well, I think everybody has to take a new and open-minded approach to the arrival of these people and to ditch prejudices and to bring into the picture what Professor Harduvalis said was a symmetry between the people involved, between the unions and business, and even, as he called it, the cascade effect.
Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, these are the new realities and, you know, the old language has to be put aside and the new method of cooperative expression has to be adopted.
But do you see the likes of Jack O'Connor, you know, who is perhaps a leader in terms of the rhetoric of union rhetoric, kind of almost like caught in a time warp. Do you believe that those trade union leaders, who after all are fighting on behalf of people as well, who are trying to survive and all sorts of things about minimum wage, that they will recognise now that times have changed and they need to perhaps move beyond the Croke Park Agreement and accept a new reality?
I do. I actually think that the opportunities are there now. When the windows are open and the fresh breezes are coming in, they will see it right. But it's not just the unions, Karen. Let's talk about the professions too. There was, as regards the unions and their contribution, there's the professions too, because Professor Hartouvelis mentioned that in Greece, the opening up of the professions, which had been sort of like a bastion of preferred privilege and, you know,
all protecting
high incomes.
One another's
yeah,
positions.
Exactly.
Yes,
we've
yeah.
got to do the same here.
And the professions you're talking about, the medical, the legal.
I'm talking about the legal and the accounting professions, because
yeah.
they're the ones that help to keep the housekeeping and record keeping and, you know, the analysis of what's going on in the economy and the transaction levels and, you know, what happens in business. They are like the guardians of the record and accounting of these activities. And they haven't had their proudest hour in the last number of years. In fact, there's been more self-serving rather than society-serving by these professions.
And we saw one that of some of them were auditing the books of the likes of Anglo and Irish Nationwide. And you know, it's a mystery as to how they couldn't spot some of the things that were going on in those places.
Correct. There was, I would think, a mentality of laziness or complacency in these areas. And, you know, they'd mechanistically go about their work instead of taking, you know, a good experienced judgment view of things to say, wait now, the structure here, the balances and imbalances, the ratios on the balance sheet don't add up. These don't actually indicate that there's a new paradigm and a new model. In fact, you know, there's crazy things happened. In 2006, at the Davos conference, where the people in the world's most powerful, most intelligent, because of their Nobel Prizes, richest people in the world congregate to nearly self-congratulate each other every year on how well they're managing the world, they actually proclaimed that Anglo-Irish Bank was the best banking model in the world. Extraordinary.
But and sure, only Seán Fitzpatrick was fated as a tremendous entrepreneur and everything like that. I mean, that's history now, of course, as
well,
we know.
No.
But Peter, will the intervention of the IMF and the rest of them here help get rid of what I call the cancer of cronyism and nepotism that is so systemic in this country? You know, jobs for the boys, protecting one another. You mentioned it there in the accounting and the banking sectors. But it really is such a destructive force, I think, in this country. Is there any chance that their intervention might help reduce that awful stuff that goes on behind the scenes here?
I think there is. I think they're going to focus in the first instance on the banks, because that's the problem that's brought this boil to the surface and burst it. It was the lack of being able to access funds by the banks that meant that they had to borrow short term and under pressure from the ECB and our own central bank to replace the repayment of bonds that took place in September. And that became a stronger and stronger pressure to the point where there was no funds available for them. And that has brought the IMF and the ECB and the EU to our doorstep. We've now got to restructure the banking sector, recapitalise it. And the measurement of the problems had been avoided.
But is there any way that their intervention can help speed up the process of perhaps instigating charges against people who were involved in reckless lending and many other things, as we know as well, in terms of some more infamous banking
yeah.
people in this country?
I was just going to develop the point. When they do the measurement of the stuff and of the capital requirements and the funding requirements of the banks, that's the opportunity to say, for them to advise us to say, make sure that your appointments to management in the banks and the boards of the banks is done in a good, open, clear, transparent way. And now's your opportunity. Freshen up. Ask the people who were there up to 2008, who still remain there, just to step off the stage. Leave the recriminations and any investigations to the Irish. I don't think they would want to get involved, and rightly so. But they can show us that now's the chance to get the new managements in place, the new infusions.
OK, let's finally go back for one last word to Professor Hartouvelis, the chief economist with Eurobank EFG Group based in Athens. Professor, are you still with us?
Yes, Emma, I'm here. I'm listening.
Very interesting. I suppose maybe what would be your perspective now on how the Irish should feel about the IMF intervention, from your own view, from having experienced it now for some time in Greece?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, the Irish problem is very specific to the banking sector. So their primary goal ought to be of how to fix the financial sector in Ireland. If, on the other hand, you have some similar problems like the Greek ones, like closed professions, from what I heard, then you ought to take into account those too. You should know. I don't think the Irish people should feel that they lose necessarily sovereignty by seeing the IMF come in. They lost it the moment they have to borrow from the international markets at huge interest rates, and their debt goes up. They made the decision to save their banks, to keep the banks Irish, and they're paying for it. Mm. There's a price for it. So, and they have to pay back that debt. I don't see the IMF is a third party. The IMF comes in because it has experience. And as Peter mentioned, these are international people. They are not German. They are not British. They're from all over the world. And they're using their long experience to actually provide good advice. And that you should take it. Here in Greece, by the way, we always looked to Ireland of how it managed to be a tiger. I myself had held a conference 6 years ago, and I brought some Irish economists here to talk about Ireland. I think you've done great. I mean, if you look at the World Bank competitiveness indices, Ireland, I think it's ranked 8th or 9th, and Greece is ranked 105th out of 183 countries. In that sense, you have to be very careful because there is not a lot of fat, I think, at least the way I perceive it, in Ireland to cut. There is a lot of waste in Greece, and perhaps it may be easier for Greeks to make their economy competitive again.
Yes.
The Irish economy, most of it is competitive, so you're really walking on thin ice, so you shouldn't overreact.
Okay.
Professor Hardoulis, two things I'd love to say. One is, the word economy comes from your own good language, going back to ancient Greek. I was lucky to learn a bit of it in school. Economy, the house rules. And that's what it's all about, really, isn't it? Organising the internal workings of a house or a family or a society in a way that economically it all makes sense. And there's a fairness and a production of good services to be enjoyed by all.
Okay, we'll have to leave it there, but fascinating stuff. But thank you so much for staying with us all this time, Professor Gikas Hardoulis, Chief Economist with Eurobank EFG Group in Athens. Fascinating stuff. And thanks to you too, Peter Matthews, Banking and Financial Commentator and Analyst. Now, you're listening to The Wide Angle. I'll be back with you just after this quick break.